Good morning, everyone. A subject that I have on my heart this morning is kind of strange in a way, in that it combines some things together that most of us really, I don't think about every day, but yet nevertheless is true. And that is death, judgment, and being holy. We all face death for sure physically, but in a way, we should be dead all the time to our old nature. And that's probably one of the things that we least like to do. We don't want to die. We don't want to be in judgment, so we put things off into the future, and we opt to live in the present with our old nature being in charge. And little do we know, that's dead to God. We're actually already dead. Legally speaking, we do not have any life that's worth anything to God in the old nature. The Bible teaches us that the carnal mind is enmity against God, and the natural man receiveth not the things of God, but they're spiritually discerned. And so we live a life that we put everything off into the future. God's going to judge out there, but we miss the judgment here now. And I would say that maybe we ought to embrace death to our own nature. I'm not saying that I want to die, but yet, in a way, the only way we can really have life is if we lose our life. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things to face, although from time to time we face physical ailments that seemingly are going to take us down. Recently, I reported that my numbers looked better in that they were the same, and I misread. Actually, they doubled. So actually, I have more of a reason not to want to even look at that anymore. It's where I want to just give my life to God and let Him worry about how long I live. Bible teaches us we don't even own ourselves. So here it is. We live a life trying to own ourselves, trying to have life that we think is really worth living, and when in reality we're living wood, hay, and stubble lives, and not gold, silver, and precious stones. So death and judgment is my subject this morning. And being holy, as the Lord your God is holy. The only way you can be really holy is to embrace death and your own judgment. In time, everybody puts the judgment out in the future, but there's a big judgment that's happening right now, internally. And I believe that judgment begins when we're born again. Prior to being born again, you get to do whatever you want. You don't feel condemned. You don't feel like you're violating any of God's rules and regulations. But whenever you're born again, that's when judgment begins. So we're going to talk a little bit about a verse that I believe that might bring this home. And the Apostle Paul, he preached in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, during that 6 hours Jesus was on the cross, the last 3 hours were judgment. Judgment against our sin, our nature, and placed on Christ. He bore in His own body what we deserve. And He was under the extreme judgment of the whole Godhead, even the Son of God. As the Son of Man, as a perfect human being, the Lamb of God was presented to God the Father, and he was judged. Why? So that we don't, we're not judged. But yet people say in their minds, well, one day we'll all be judged. That's true for the non-elect. Their eternal judgment will be in the lake of fire, along with Satan and the fallen angels. But God's children already has had their judgment paid. So why don't we live in a more holy way? Be ye holy, for the Lord thy God am holy. Maybe we should look at Jesus Christ in his example. In Hebrews 9, let's look at what happened during that time on the cross. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's where he's at. He has all authority to execute judgment right now in heaven. God has placed that on him, having received the judgment of God the Father for the law of sin and death. God the Father has made him the righteous judge. So we have a righteous judge in heaven. And until we see that judgment in our life taking place, then we're probably kidding ourselves in thinking that we're doing what God would have us to do, when in reality, we're doing what we want to do. But he's merciful, and he allows us to do those things that are really of no value. What a merciful God we have. Nor yet, in verse 25, that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We know that that was during the time on the cross. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Being made something he's not, being punished for something that he didn't deserve, so that we would not have to be punished eternally. And then the verse that I want to try to zero in on is verse 27. It says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So, in that verse, it was once appointed unto Jesus Christ to die. He died at the sixth hour. He was cut off, separated. In Leviticus 16, we're given an example of two goats where one goat is killed and the other goat is an escape goat. So Jesus Christ fulfilled that ceremonial law. He was cut off and he died to God, separated. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he had 3 hours of judgment. So what does that mean to us? The only way that we're really truly going to live is if we die, just like Christ. He didn't have an old nature, but he was made what our old nature is so that we might be delivered. But only way that we're going to, I believe, truly live and lose our life so that we gain life is to follow the example of Christ. In verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." We know he suffered for us during those 3 hours. That's when he suffered. You could say that he suffered living a perfect life while on earth for 33 and a half years, but that was through the power of the Spirit of God, the miracles he did. But this was a special suffering. He'd suffered at the hands of evil men, many of children of God that cried, "Crucify him." But the suffering wasn't really as strong as during those 3 hours. That's when he suffered. Leaving us an example. So he's an example. He's saying, in order for you to live, you got to die. You got to die to your old nature. We know that comes and goes. We kid ourselves thinking that, well, I'm dying to my old nature today. I'm doing what God would have me to do. And many times we're successful, but our old nature will weasel its way into the situation and say, okay, enough of that. Now let's do what we want to do. You know, that's what we face every day. We are horribly misled in self-deception. Who did so no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus Christ submitted himself to God the Father to be judged. We didn't do anything wrong. He was made to be sin, therefore the righteous judgment is the wrath of God on that. So that we can have mercy, he had to endure what we deserve. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In Colossians 3:1-10 it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, we're risen. We have a new birth. We are risen right now. Our old nature remains dead to God. God doesn't deal with the old nature, but he loved us while we were sinners in order Jesus died for us. But he deals with us in our new nature. That's who he talks to. That's who he communes with. That's who he helps. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That, I believe, is a key that we need to see more of, that our life is actually in Christ. If it weren't for Christ, we would have no life. We would have no way of pleasing God. So God accepts us through the merits of Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it. In Romans 8, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what we face every day, and we beg God to crucify our old nature so that we may live. And Jesus Christ is the one that is worthy to drive the nails in our hands and our feet. So he has been made our righteous judge. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, okay, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead occurred at 3 p.m. That he endured our death, a burial under our sin nature calls for, and at 3 p.m. he was resurrected. And restored fellowship, and the Spirit of God came back into him. He was raised from the dead. Most everybody thinks that it's just the physical raising of the dead. The physical couldn't take place unless the spiritual took place. You and I cannot be going to heaven unless we are first born again. Therefore, we have a death, burial, and resurrection. We were first resurrected when we were born again. We ascend every day whenever we follow God's word and live the way we should. We ascend back and forth to heaven But one day, if God, if Jesus Christ comes after we die, we will see another death and another burial. And praise God at the second coming, another resurrection. The second resurrection we will have. And then we will ascend the last time to heaven, no longer to be here. So we need to be raised up by Christ from the dead in life. We're going to be raised at the end of time. But that's not, I believe, what's in question. What's in question is, are we daily raised from the dead? Shall, and he says, also quicken your mortal bodies by a spirit that dwelleth in you. So we shouldn't continue in sin. We should be baptized into his death, which means acknowledge that we're dead to our own nature, can't please God, and seek to live a life that would be pleasing to God through Christ Jesus. So this morning I just wanted to share a little bit about that judgment. In 1 Corinthians, and I'll be closing here momentarily, it says in 6:19, Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Most of the world's culture says you own yourself. It's your body. You can kill a baby. You can do all these things. You don't own yourself. And until we really realize that, we haven't lived. So that's why I hate to say this, I could face death physically one day. It wasn't my body anyway. And I don't know how long I have left here, and I hope it might be God's mercy that he allow me to stay here a little bit longer. But during the meantime, we need to take up our cross and follow him and lose our life so that we gain our life. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. A farmer doesn't plant corn in this life and get it in heaven. You sow and you reap in the season that you sowed. So I believe this verse is teaching that we should come under the judgment seat of Christ. Allow him to judge us. He's a very good judge. He's a very merciful and loving. And he endured all those things that we deserve so that he can be his judgment. And God the Father has allowed his Son to be the righteous judge. God doesn't judge us. He allows his Son to judge us. One day in the great white throne judgment, he will judge the dead, and they will be sentenced to the lake of fire. We will be raised in the resurrection, not to be judged, but be found in the book, so that we don't have a judgment, because he already filled that in the 3 hours. And then finally it says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. For if it first begin in us, at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's, I believe, one of the things that we face in this world is false gospel. We're taught things we can do we really can't. Therefore, judgment should begin in the house of God, where we preach what's right. Preach proper judgment. This is not something that, it should actually, I believe, be something that we love. Judgment of our sin nature, so that we die to those things that are not good, and we live like Christ. And that's my desire, is to, like it says in Romans 12, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us to live as you did on earth. Jesus, we thank you for being our righteous judge. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being in us, and that you live again in our lives and help us to die to our old nature and carnal mind and natural spirit so that we may live truly a life pleasing to you. Please bless the rest of this service. Please have mercy on this nation that we repent, Father, and turn from our groves and idols so that we may again live as a righteous nation that is exalted by you. Thank you for all your love and bless. Please be with the rest of the service. And we ask our blessings upon those mentioned with health issues. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.